You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 127. My guest today is Carolyn, and this one's quite a contrast to episode 126, last month's episode. Now, last month we had Renee on as a guest, and Renee had a very long and very exciting and very involved dream, and we got so much out of it, but of course we couldn't look at every aspect of the dream because we only have an hour in the podcast show. And also, if you listen to last month's episode, you'll know that it's not always necessary to go into every element of the dream. It's necessary to hear it, but it's not always necessary to analyse every single bit to get what you need to know. Now, in total contrast to that, Carolyn, my guest today, has a very short dream. And I think what you'll enjoy about this is that even though it's a very, very short dream, we still spent an hour on it and we still got lots and lots of stuff from it. So you're really going to enjoy listening to the short dream and then thinking, oh, that's an interesting dream, because it is. I wonder how they're going to talk about this for an hour. So it's interesting that whether a dream is long or short, it always is a way to really get into the unconscious mind and mine a lot of really interesting insight for the dreamer as to how the dream is reflecting not only their waking life, but also giving great information into their mindset, the structure of their unconscious mind, their beliefs, where they came from, and how these beliefs, how this mindset is affecting their life experience today. So whether the dream is a long one full of wonderful excitement and lots of symbolic clues, or whether it's a short, simple one still packed with clues, either way, these dreams are windows into being able to help the guests to understand something about themselves that enables them to open up their life in an even bigger way, to be bit bigger and better and live a bigger life because of something that they understand about themselves, no matter where they're at in their life. And you'll get that from Carolyn. Now, before we go in, just a little reminder of the websites to go to and a couple more tips. One tip is if you still are listening to the show off some of the websites, or if you're going to our podcast website and listening to it there each month, make life easier on yourself. Go to iTunes or your equivalent of that. Go to iTunes. The show is free, of course. Subscribe there, and then you don't have to think about it each month. It'll just come to you. And do share the links with your friends who you think may be interested in dreams too. The other tip is if you're listening to this and you're not yet on the Dream Tips subscriber list, which is my subscriber list, which you'll get on both my main websites. If you're on this list, you get a tip every day for the first 7 days, just simple dream tips that you can use to apply tools and techniques that you can apply to begin to understand your dreams. You get one a day for 7 days, then you get one after about a couple of weeks, and then you get one every 4 weeks. And those are ongoing for years. So for years, every 4 weeks, you can get another tip or, you know, something to think about to help you in your own private quest to become more adept at understanding your own dreams and therefore understanding your life. So all you have to do is go to any of my websites, and it shouldn't take much hunting around. It should be pretty clear. You'll find the Dream Tips sign up list. So you can unsubscribe at any time, of course, as well. So do yourself that favor if you're not on it. So the websites are www.dream.net.au. That's the main one to find out, to have free resources, sign up for Dream Tips, see how you can make private contact with me, and so on and so forth. Then there's the blog at www.janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H, where I put up a new article or a new post roughly once a week. Or there's the podcast website, which has no W's, it's just thedreamshow.tv. Or there's Facebook. Oh, there's even Twitter. But right now, here's Carolyn. Enjoy. Welcome to The Dream Show, Carolyn.
Hi, Jane Theresa.
Thank you for being on the show. How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, jolly good, thank you. Thanks for having me on your wonderful show.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Have you listened to many episodes?
Oh, I listen to every episode, Jane Theresa. I just love them. They're fantastic.
Thank you. Right, well, now the light is shining on you, so hit me with your dream.
I had a dream the other night, and I called it the white cat. This man got breath tested, and this short blonde lady breath tested him, and she left a white cat here. And all of a sudden, the woman and this other man were on the property looking for the cat. And I saw the woman looking under the car, and the cat had gotten out of her car. I just wondered what they were doing here, because they were looking for the cat. And then they went, and I found the cat. And I called the cat, and it came to me really easily, and I was patting it, and I was cuddling it. But the man was funny about the cat. And then the cat got away, and then I went somewhere, and I came back, and I saw a little girl playing in the park next door with the cat. And then when I came in, the man was funny, and he said something. He said, "I don't know if I should tell you." And I said, "Oh, just tell me." But he was beating around the bush, and he was procrastinating, and something was up. And I said, "You should just tell me." And he said it was about the woman with the cat. And I said, he said he didn't know whether he should tell me, and I said, "Well, you should just tell me." And then the man kept saying, "Oh, I don't know if I should tell you the truth." And I woke up from this dream, Jane Teresa, because I said, "Just tell me the truth," and then I woke up.
So you never got to the truth of the white cat.
No, the bloody cat. So that's my dream.
Fantastic. So this dream you had last week, you said?
Yeah, just a couple of nights ago.
A couple of nights ago. So, as always, because the dream reflects the 24 to 48 hours before, bear that in mind. So we're talking about what was happening for you 3 or 4, 5 days ago or nights ago.
Yeah.
It's quite often when you have an animal in a dream, not always, but quite often, it's really tuning into our animal instincts. Now, this isn't kind of like a dream dictionary approach, and don't look at that, but we often look at animals, as we all look at animals, we often look at them as quite instinctive, animals that live in the natural environment, animals that respond to changes in the environment without being rational thinking human beings. So we will quite often bring animals into our dreams when we're kind of looking more at our own particular instincts and responses. So it's very possible that what we're looking at here in your dream is something that happened in the day or two before the dream, where you were tuning more into your instincts than usual, and finding out information about yourself from that level. So we're going to be coming in at that level, and therefore it's quite interesting that even though it's a short dream, Carolyn, you've got three main characters. There's the male, there's the blonde woman, there's you, and then there's the cat.
Yep.
So let's take you out of the picture, because, you know, usually we're in our own dreams. You've got an animal, you've got a male and a female.
Yep.
So often when you've got a male and a female in a dream, and, you know, there's some kind of dynamic between them, it's often about your own male side and your female side. In other words, the male side is usually about your left brain or your kind of logical, rational approach to the world, you know, your yang. And the female will often represent your right brain. So that's your inner world, your emotions, your spirituality, your more holistic grasp, or even more instinctive sometimes grasp, or intuition, I should say, rather than instinct of the world. So it's like your yin. So you've got the male and the female communicating in the dream, and it's almost like we're looking at, you know, your right brain, your left brain, your yin, your yang, your reasoning and your intuition, and all of a sudden the dream throws in the cat. So it's and the character that was mostly questioning and really wanting to tell you the truth about the cat was the male. So if that male represents the more kind of reasoning part of your, you know, the thinking, reasoning, calculating part of your, of Carolyn, which is what the male side will often do, you know, the reductionist, mechanistic, this is how the world works, it's logical, looks at logic and reason. You've got the logical part really wanting to tell you something about the cat, about your own instincts. So at base, before we go into it anymore, this dream seems to me to be about a conflict between the part of yourself that is logical and reasoning and the part of yourself that is quite instinctive. And the part of yourself that has been reasoning and thinking and trying to apply logic to a situation has looked at your instinctive side, your cat, and has seen something, has seen a truth. And you're struggling to decide whether you want to understand that truth about your instinctive side. How are we going so far?
Yeah, no, I wanted to know the truth, and I woke up. I was annoyed. I was like,
Did something wake you up, or was it just waking up like it was the end of a dream?
No, the dream, like me saying, just tell me the truth, woke me up, because I was getting angry.
You're getting angry with a man for not telling you the truth.
Yeah.
So the anger in the dream is also an anger that you're feeling with yourself, because everybody in the dream is like an aspect of yourself. So there's the part of yourself, the male, that is probably quite reasoning and logical, because that's the kind of feeling in the dream. And we will go into this more deeply, but we're just getting an overview. And that part of yourself is withholding information, is withholding the truth. So it's kind of like there's... something that you need to know, a kind of truth about your own natural instincts. Good, bad, we don't know yet, but a truth about your natural instincts. And it's like the rational, logical part of yourself is on guard, is going, I'm not going to tell you. Like, I need to tell you a truth, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm withholding this information. Now, this is you're getting angry, which is natural, but obviously there's some reason why at this time in your life you actually don't really want to know the truth. Much as in the dream, it's like, tell me the truth, I'm getting really angry about this. There's a deeper level at which you don't want to know the truth, otherwise the dream wouldn't have ended there.
Yeah.
So it's really a key point here is that there is a truth about your own instincts that... for some reason, you are protecting yourself from knowing at the moment, and you're protecting yourself with logic, with argument, with reason. Now, we're going to go in deeper, but are you with me so far?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Now, let's start at the beginning of the dream. No, let's go with the cat first.
The cat, yeah.
It's a white cat.
Yeah, it was a white cat.
What do you feel about white cats as opposed to, say, black cats or any other kind of cat? What's a white cat feel like personality-wise to you?
I suppose they're a bit rare, aren't they? You don't see white cats that often. Well, I don't. I don't even think I've seen a white cat at all. Usually they've got some, because it was pure white. So maybe a bit rare or a bit not common.
Yeah, that's perfect. I think you're right. There are very few totally white cats, and even if that wasn't true, it's what the dreamer feels about the symbol that matters, you know. But I think you're right there. So it's rare. It's not common. What kind of personality does a white cat have? Without thinking too hard about it.
I don't know. Probably a bit cheeky.
Uh-huh.
All cats are cheeky, I think. A bit dignified, perhaps, you know, because it's white. I can just see it sitting there looking at me, you know? You know how cats are snobs?
Yes, I do.
They can be a bit snobby. So is that enough?
Yeah, that's lovely. So we've got cheeky, dignified and snobby.
And rare
being the most important part of all. Now, the man in the dream, he's not anyone you know from waking life.
Yeah, he is.
He is, okay. So do you want to give him a name, either his real name or just a name so that we can talk about him?
I can call him Stan.
Stan, okay.
Yeah.
So how would you describe Stan's personality or approach to life in three words?
He's cheeky.
Uh-huh.
It's a bit, little bit sort of like unorganized. He's interesting.
Interesting in what kind of way? Can you?
He's interesting to, he has an interesting approach on life, I suppose.
Okay. If you could put one more word on that, an interesting approach. He approaches life from a what kind
individual,
of angle?
Individual.
Great,
individual,
thank you. Yeah. Lovely, thank you.
Individual.
I wonder how, you know, as approaching life as an individual, is that, how similar is that to saying that the cat is rare? Is he a rare individual, or are there lots of individuals like him?
No, he'd be a bit rare too.
Mm. Okay. And the short blonde lady that did the breath test, is she anyone that you know from waking life?
No.
Okay. So was she a policeman kind of, policeman, policewoman, police person, police officer kind of person?
Yeah, sort of, you know, like an authority of some sort.
So she's an authority. And in what other three personality words would you get for her, Carolyn?
I don't know, because I don't know her. Well, she seems like sort of curious, perhaps, because she wanted the cat back.
Mm.
So she was a bit worried about the cat, perhaps. Mm. And I don't know. I think she was disappointed because she didn't get the cat.
Yeah. Okay, and you know, you made a good point there. Oh, I don't know about her personality because I don't know her. But if it's a stranger in our dream, you know, someone we don't know in waking life, we still interacted with them in the dream. For that moment in the dream, we knew them. And just as you've demonstrated there, it's actually, once you let yourself do it, it's actually really easy to bring out those three personality words.
Yeah.
So she was curious, she was an authority, she was curious, she was worried about the cat, and she was disappointed that she didn't get the cat at the end.
Yeah.
And the cat was hers because it started out in her car, didn't it?
Yeah, and I thought, well, she's stupid for bringing the cat with her.
Mm.
You know, why'd she bring your cat?
Yeah. So what would have been a better thing for her to do, to leave the cat where?
At home, I suppose. Like, you don't take your cat in the car, do you? Well, I don't. Because she was looking under the car for the cat too.
Mm. Okay, no, you're absolutely right. We don't take our cats in cars, but keep talking to me about that. Why don't we take cats out in cars? I know it's a silly question.
Because they get away.
They get away, yes. Whereas dogs tend
dogs
to keep
like
their eye
it.
On you. Yeah,
and cats don't. I don't think they don't particularly like cars, do they? It traumatises them a bit.
Mm. So we've got two things there. One is a dog for you would represent a dog as always comes back, is kind of loyal, keeps its eyes on its owner.
Yeah.
Whereas a cat's like, I'm off until I want some food. And cats, even if I want food, I'll get it from someone else. Yeah. So we've got that. But you've also got your, you're probably correct in saying a cat is traumatized by taking a trip in a car. But, you know, also that came out of your unconscious at the moment to mention that. So since when you're talking about a dream, what you tend to come up and mention tends to be pretty important to the understanding of the dream. So we've got a sense of a trauma here as well. And that you particularly noticed that the lady was blonde and short. Like, was she very short or just a bit short?
Just a bit short.
Mm. And shorter than you?
Yeah.
And did that shortness have any problem or issue in the dream, or was she?
No, it was just something I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
She had the short hair and she was short herself, so I'm thinking short's got something to do with it.
Mm, yeah, it's short hair and short herself.
Yeah, it was double sort of meaning there.
Mm. So with that double meaning, she could be short of something, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it must be as wonderful to be short as it is to be tall as a person, but we're talking dream symbolism here, so it could be short of something. So her hair isn't long and flowing, it's short.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so at the beginning of the dream, it opened up with Stan having his breath tested.
Yep.
For alcohol.
Yep.
By the short blonde lady. Did he pass the test, do we know?
Oh, I don't know, no. He must have.
Is alcohol an issue with Stan?
Not really, no.
Okay, so, and was he, at the beginning of the dream, was he in a car? Like, was he having a breath test because he was driving anywhere?
No, there was no car. She was in the car.
Right.
She was in the car with another man.
Ah, she was with another man.
Yeah.
Do we know it?
No, I don't know who he was. He was looking for the cat with her.
Right, okay. So it's an odd situation, isn't it, to have a breath test for, like, what? You know, you only really need a breath test usually to see if you're safe to drive a car.
Yeah.
So we're deep in the land of symbolism here. So our breath is what we breathe out.
Yeah.
And if we're testing for, if we're having a breath test, it may be an alcohol test. You've got the feeling for that in the dream. The dream may be more about testing what is being breathed out, what is coming out here. You know, when we talk, our words come out on our breath, we might imagine.
Yeah, you know, the breath is like spirit too, isn't it?
Okay, that's great. So for you, and I would agree, the breath is like spirit.
Yeah.
So the dream opens with that sense of, yes, I've got to test this spirit.
Yes.
So it's really important to test the spirit. So we're opening up with Stan, who on the one hand is the male side of yourself, most probably the sort of reasoning, logical part of yourself, and you want to test its spirit. And on the other hand, he also represents Rare in a kind of way, because you said he has an interesting approach to life. He's kind of an individual, maybe Rare. So like the cat, he is Rare, the white cat. Yep. Like the white cat, he is Cheeky.
Yes.
And he's unorganized, which has got nothing to do with the cat. So at the beginning of the dream, you're testing the spirit of maybe your feelings about being Rare, taking an individual approach, maybe your feelings about cheekiness. Now, remember that every aspect of the dream is telling us something about you, the dreamer.
Yep.
So although it's Stan, kind of forget that and think, you know, this is about you, because even though you know Stan in waking life, you know him and relate to him because of what you think and feel about him. You know, everybody we meet in our life, whether it's a partner or whether it's someone that just knocks on the door once and you have a 3-minute conversation, we get an impression about that person, and how we respond and interact with that person usually has nothing to do with them and has everything to do with us and how we perceive them. So the same in our dreams. If we bring in people that we know in our dreams, what we're looking at in our dreams is how we're interacting with them and what we feel and how we see that person in the dream. So it's telling us more about ourselves and how we interact with the world and what we feel and think of others, which has got nothing to do with how they are. It's all about us. So at the beginning of the dream, you can say, okay, there's this issue represented by Stan, which is about being cheeky, Rare, having an individual approach, and yet also seen as male. It's kind of seen as maybe the world out there, the yang, the rational approach, and you're interested in testing the spirit of this.
Outer world sort of thing, isn't it?
You're right, the yin and the yang. So the yang can be the outer world. So the outer world is often, we often approach the outer world in a more kind of rational, competitive, logical way. Whereas the inner world, the yin, we often look at that, feel that more emotionally, spiritually, intuitively. So yes, okay, so you're relating to outer world. So we got your outer world, Carolyn being cheeky in the outer world, Carolyn taking an individual, maybe Rare approach in the outer world. And at the beginning of the dream, you thinking, actually, kind of in a way, I'm not sure of this. I need to test this. What am I putting out there? What am I breathing out? What's the spirit of this? That's the key question. And the part of yourself that is asking that question and doing the testing is short, amongst other things.
Or I'm short with it?
Yes, you could be short with it because you're angry at the end. Good observation.
That's what I thought, it's being short.
Very good observation. So if you're being short with that aspect of yourself, in other words, as at the end of the dream, being angry with it too, we need to, that's a great observation, and we need to go underneath that and say, well, why? Why were you, you know, we hit anger first. We're short with somebody or something because we're angry, and because there's something underneath that, and maybe that's the truth. But we sometimes aren't really ready to look at what really is making us angry. You know, we perceive it as Stan in the dream, but it's not Stan, it's something deeper than that. So in any situation where we were angry, we're kind of often, first of all, angry because we're defending our territory, we're responding instinctively, not rationally, but there's really always great, fantastic information to be mined underneath the anger. Get past the anger, which you can only do by expressing it, usually best not in front of the other person, but find some way to express it. And then that clears the air and you go, okay, all right, what was making me angry there? What was making me short? Because if I don't work that out and heal it or transform it or come to terms with it, then I'm going to keep coming up against this issue. And in your case, I'm going to keep wanting to test my spirit because I'm angry about it. So great observation, Carolyn. Fantastic dream work. All this listening to the podcast is obviously educating you very well. And we're going to go deeper than that too. So that part of yourself that is short and angry is also seen in the dream as testing, as an authority, as curious, as disappointed that she hasn't got a cat back and worried about the cat. So if we then flip to the cat and you saw the cat as rare, cheeky as well, dignified, and possibly snobby. What I'm getting from this is there's a part of yourself that you know and perhaps protect quite deeply, which you also know is rare, very, very special, and perhaps includes the element of whatever white means to you. Has cheekiness, which is fantastic. It's actually very dignified. And if you look at your little rundown for the cat there, the interesting thing is you've got dignified and then you went on and said, you know how cats can be snobby too. So to me, there's a difference between being dignified and snobby.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so how do you see the difference between being dignified and snobby?
Well, snobby is a bit like I'm better than you. Sort of thing, and dignified's just, you know, a dignified person that has their own, holds their counsel, or, you know, doesn't get angry, or, you know, it doesn't, yeah, it's cool sort of thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. So a person can be dignified in a sense of, as you say, they're cool, they don't get angry. If you don't get angry, in a sense, it's because you're comfortable with who you are. I suppose that's one thing.
Yeah.
There aren't any issues underneath it to get angry, or if there are, you're comfortable with them. So dignified is what we are when we're not concerned about measuring ourselves up against other people. It's just, I'm sorry, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And
no
I'm,
apology either. No apology for who you are.
Yeah, good thought. So, you know, whether you're living a saintly life, sleeping in the gutter with no apology, or
right.
To the other extreme, whether you're, you know, a multimillionaire and living a very hedonistic life with no apology, it's not a matter about measuring yourself against other people. It's just, this is who I am, this is who I've chosen to be. I'm very, very comfortable about this. I'm totally cool. And there's a dignity that goes with that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I guess dignity's got something to do with respect too, has it, in a way? Like respect for yourself? Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas snobby, as you've defined it, and I agree, is I'm better than you.
Yeah. Look, no, it's just a cat looking down its nose at you. You know how
they
do that?
They do, don't they?
And they look at you like you're a creature that, you know, what are you doing here? How dare you be in my space? You know how cats do that?
I do, absolutely, yeah. It's all about the cat.
Yeah, that's right.
But the fact that you observe that in the cat in context of the dream means to me that ideally, if you look at your dream, the short blonde woman is disappointed because she hasn't got a cat. You want to know the truth about the cat. Like, it's all, the bottom line of the dream is all about the cat. Everybody really wants to have the cat and know the truth about the cat.
Except for the man. The man was funny about the cat.
Yes, and withholding the information.
Yeah, he was funny about it.
So there's a part of yourself, all the female parts, that really want the cat.
Yeah, they seem to be into the cat.
Yeah, that's right. And the instincts of the cat.
Yep.
So you do have the instincts of the cat somewhere within you.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it's that those instincts within you have a deeper truth that the male part of yourself, the outer world part of yourself, kind of wants to tell you but kind of doesn't. And it's making you really angry.
Yeah, he was beating around the bush. He was like procrastinating and, you know, like just, yeah, being all funny.
Being procrastinating.
Yeah, like just not wanting to say it.
He
said he didn't know whether I should tell you the truth.
And why do you think he didn't want to say it?
I don't know. Hiding something?
Hiding something's usually the reason, that's right.
Yeah.
So you're, given that these dynamics are all part of you, there's a part of you that's hiding this truth from you, even though it's making you really angry.
Yeah. What's the matter? You want to get... the matter with me, Jane Teresa?
I can see it. I'm trying to bring you around slowly to it. But I'm going to jump in and say it at this point. It's part of it, Carolyn, is that dignified snob thing. Okay, so there's that, you've described a white cat as having a bit of an inner conflict. Like it can be dignified, but it can also be snobby, you know, and you can see the difference between dignified and snobby, and they're almost opposites.
Yeah.
Okay, so you actually have that contradiction within you at the time of this dream. Part of you, it wants to be dignified. We have dignity. We all want our personal dignity, and it's not always easy to be comfortable with it and to have it and have that respect. But there's a part of you that thinks, if I really step into my dignity and interact in the world in a dignified way, which is my birthright to do, people will think that I'm being snobby. People will think that I'm measuring myself as better than they are.
Yeah, that's possible, I suppose.
Mm. So there may have been, in the couple of days before the dream, a situation where you were acting instinctively and a bit like the cat, but testing your spirit, you know, how am I in the world, but a bit curious about this aspect of dignity, and if I step out and I do X, Y, Z, whatever it is, am I going to be criticised as being above myself, as having a I'm better than you kind of attitude? And this may be holding you back, because you may be keeping yourself back from adding improvements to your life, which would actually be really good for you, because we're all here to improve and to grow, and to become, I guess we're all here to become more and more dignified, because that dignity means, a personal dignity means we're cool and, as you said, cool and comfortable with ourselves.
Yeah.
But part of you is holding yourself back from that because you've confused it with being snobby, with judgment.
Judgment, for sure.
Mm. So you may be either surrounded by people, and the stand may represent that kind of feeling for you of concern about other people's judgment, or your current approach to the outer world and how you would like to be in it also brings up for you feelings of concern about other people's judgment, and that particular judgment that you're concerned about is that people would judge you as thinking that you're better than they are. And you're angry about it. As you say, you're short about it, you're angry about it. I want to know this truth, and for me, looking at your dream, Carolyn, that seems to be the truth, and I've just given you the truth. I think. But in the dream, it's like, I do, I don't, I'm hiding this from myself, I'm angry about it. Because if this was true, and if you knew this truth about yourself, that your instinct, particularly in the couple of days before the dream, your instinct is to hold yourself back for fear of being seen as being snobby or know-it-all. And remember that the short blonde lady was an authority as well. So that's like some of those stuff.
Because he says, there's a bit of dialogue in the dream. He says, Stan says, I just asked her about things, Carolyn. And I say, what are you saying? He says, I just asked her about things, Carolyn. And he says, I don't know if I should tell you the truth. And I say, just tell me the truth. What's going on? Just tell me the truth. And then I got all angry and I got furious and I said, tell me the truth, and then I woke up. I was like, ugh. You know, when you wake up from a dream with that, it's like, what is the truth? The truth. Tell me the truth. I wanted to know what the truth was. But the dream man didn't sort of, like, he was really reluctant. He didn't want to reveal.
So if he was reluctant and didn't want to reveal this truth about, if he is reflecting stuff about you and you're reluctant to know this truth, that you maybe hold yourself back from fear of being judged as being snobby, as being better than others, if this truth is true, how uncomfortable does it make you feel?
Pretty uncomfortable.
Mm. So you would want to hide it from yourself and not know it, wouldn't you?
I suppose. How silly are we?
Well, yeah, and as you said about the blonde girl in the dream, how stupid was she to bring her cat?
Yeah.
And what she did, you said, was, you know, you don't put a cat in a car because, for many other reasons, but it traumatizes them.
Yeah.
So how stupid was she to traumatize her cat? So do you feel that you've put your dignity, your rare dignity, the cat, in a situation which has traumatized it? Have you?
Yeah, probably. You can say that.
Particularly in the last couple of days before the dream?
Yeah, I'll have to reflect on that a little bit, but yeah, must be.
Yeah. So there's that sense of really, if it's not a real cat, if it's a dream cat, we should really be able to take our cat anywhere we want to in the world. You know, it's a part of ourselves.
Yeah.
You should be able to take the rare, cheeky, I can tell you take the cheeky bit with you anyway, the rare, cheeky, dignified part of yourself anywhere you wish.
Yeah.
Without traumatizing it.
Yeah.
You should be able to be in interaction with anybody or anything or any situation in life without your dignity being traumatized.
Yeah.
Your dignity should glow and shine.
Yes, it should, but it doesn't.
But it doesn't. And sometimes when it doesn't, it's easy to look at the situation you're in and say, it's because I'm in this situation that my dignity is feeling tarnished, that I'm beginning to feel that people are thinking that I'm feeling better than them. Whereas in fact, that's just the traumatic, that's the kind of trauma that you've put yourself in. You know, we can decide to let our dignity shine. And I guess in essence, Carolyn, you're obviously a very spiritual person because you see the breath as your spirit. At essence, you know that nobody's better than anybody else.
Yeah.
You know that whatever happens, we're all equal. We're just standing in different shoes at any particular moment.
Yeah.
And so that feeling of being judged as someone else as being better than you is a momentary thing, or is based on a belief in your own head, conscious or unconscious.
Yeah, for sure.
So if you can come back to that feeling of, actually, at any moment that you feel that, let me just remember, we're all equal, we're just standing in different shoes, then in that case, why can't I, Carolyn, stand in the shiniest, purest, whitest shoes I wish to stand in? Because there's a difference between bettering ourselves in terms of having a better life experience, getting, you know, finding a passion that you want to work with, feeling that you're contributing to the world, whatever it is that you're doing in life, there's that kind of bettering oneself, which is just choosing goals or choosing ways that you would like to be in the world, or even choosing, I guess, you know, the key thing underlying all of this, choosing your spiritual intention, you know, your sense of meaningful purpose, all of these things. That is bettering yourself. Personal development, that's bettering yourself. There's a difference between bettering yourself and doing that in order to be better than someone else. The bettering yourself is dignity. It's growing into better and better shoes. It's living a bigger life. It's living a more meaningful life. It's being happier. It's being less limited.
Yeah, less angry.
And less angry, yeah.
Because I was angry about it, James Rees. I was really angry.
If I just ask you a question out of the blue and ask you, how early in your life can you remember being angry when someone accused you of being trying to be better than them?
Oh, I don't know. I had two big sisters. So, I don't know.
Have a little think about it later, because sometimes when something is deeply emotional, as this is, and is obviously a deeply ingrained unconscious pattern, it will have started at some point, often very, very early in childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you would have been, you would have got that feeling when you're a tender little emotional thing and you think everybody else is right, that you were told that, you know, you're too big for your boots, you're parading as better than you are, and you would have pulled back, or particularly, to use your word, snob. Someone would have accused you of being a snob, and you would have jumped right back and lived your life trying not to be snobby, trying to almost perhaps work back to what you perceive as the lowest common denominator, something like that. But you would have done that and with a huge amount of anger and resentment, pushing it way down and it's only just coming up for you now, and you're just about to blow your fuse.
Yeah. That's right. Woke me up.
Yeah, woke you up to it. And maybe the dream woke you up to it, yeah.
Maybe that's exactly what it's doing.
Mm. So would you think if all of that, you know, if this dream and the waking up from the dream, as you've just said there, is exactly what it's doing, it's waking you up to this knowledge about yourself that you may have been limiting yourself to improving some areas of your life and enjoying having personal dignity because of this fear of being seen as snobby. If that were to all change and you were just to say, yeah, actually I can see snobby's got nothing to do with it, how bizarre that we get implanted and programmed by these things in early childhood. And like snobby goes with being dignified for decades of your life, and all of a sudden you go, what? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Exactly.
How did dignified and snobby go together? Okay, so if we were to click our fingers and change that, and snobby completely disappeared, and you were able to just go out there and have as much dignity as you want and be able to do whatever you want without feeling that anybody was judging you for being better, how would your life change?
Well, I don't know. I suppose I'd feel a bit freer, wouldn't I? Maybe.
Mm.
A bit more free to be me.
Free to be you would be a wonderful thing.
Mm, absolutely.
That's something, you know, we all should have high on our list. What can you think of any, or do any feelings come up of kind of bit of panic about, oh no, I'd be free to be me, but this would also mean dot dot
yeah,
dot.
Maybe perhaps a little bit of fear of stepping out into being who you are.
Mm.
A little bit of, you know.
Fear of what might happen,
Yeah.
And can you tell me what might happen, what that fear is? Oh, my goodness, if I step out to be me, I'm frightened that...
I'll be judged,
yeah. By?
Anyone.
Because? They'll see me as...
Yeah, they'll see me as, I don't know. I don't know, they'll see me as perhaps thinking I'm better than them.
Yeah, so you see we've got the circular thing going.
Mm.
So if we can actually get rid of that thing about the judgment of people thinking that you're thinking that you're better than them, then there's
silly,
nothing,
isn't it?
Yeah, there's nothing to fear, is there? See, we can consciously talk about it, but your unconscious is still going, yeah, but actually,
yeah.
No, hang on a minute.
I don't like this. This isn't the way it's meant to be.
No. So we are, not just yet, but we are shortly. We are going to... we're going to do some dream alchemy to make sure that we get rid of that so that you can actually then... What you will do then is feel free to step out and be you, and you will do it because we will have got rid of the fear.
Yeah.
We will have got rid of the fear because we will have changed the belief. We would have got rid of that belief that... Whatever I do, people would judge me as thinking that I'm better than them. So we get rid of that, you'll be like, it will start with small things. I don't know, Carolyn, you may go and do something really, really big, but it may otherwise start with small things like how you interact with people,
yeah.
What you do in the next hour,
yeah.
What you're thinking and feeling in any situation. And you'll notice very small shifts. You'll notice, that's interesting. Mm. I was a bit more like me there, and I didn't worry about what the outcomes would be.
Yeah.
Because the fear is gone. Mm. So that's what we're going to head towards. I just have a feeling there was something else there in the dream. I'm just trying to... looking at my little notes that I took while you were talking. Yeah, there was a child at one point in the dream.
Yeah, a little girl in the park playing with the cat.
Mm. And did the cat run away from her, or...?
No, she seemed to be like... She was playing with a ball or something, like throwing, and the cat was just there with her.
Okay, don't think at all. Answer me in 1 second. How old was she?
Oh, I'm 9 or 10.
9 or 10. Okay. So let's have a look both at when you were 9 or 10 and also 9 or 10 years ago, you know, because a little girl, the girl in the dream was 9 or 10 years. So it could, she could represent something that's been in your life for 9 or 10 years, but she may also represent you when you were 9 and 10. So which do you want to do first, when you were 9 or 10 or 9 to 10 years ago?
Oh, probably when I was 9 or 10. That's easier.
Okay. Bearing in mind what we've just been talking about, Carolyn, what was happening for you when you were 9 or 10?
Well, a really big event happened for me when I was 9, and that was our home was absolutely our whole living. The city was destroyed by Cyclone Tracy.
Mm.
So that was fairly traumatic.
Mm.
We were totally devastated. It was on Christmas Day too, you know. So that was a pretty big event when I was 9. That really, you know, upset the apple cart.
That's interesting that, you know, you described that's been traumatic, which of course it was.
Yeah.
You also described taking the cat in the car as traumatising it.
Yeah, and the thing was too, Jane Teresa, during the cyclone, our cat had actually got away.
Mm.
We had a cat, and we found her after the cyclone. She was, she sheltered under my bed on a blackboard. So she was, and when we found her, she was like half wet, and we thought, oh my God, she's lost her skin, but she was just wet. She had, like, from her waist down, she was wet, and the top half was dry. And that was, you know, that. It's one of those things you remember, like your Christmas presents floating by down the hallway, you know?
Mm.
It's just one of those things you remember. And so that was a cat, yeah.
So the cat, in a way, she ran away. Do you think she ran away knowing the cyclone was coming, or she ran away in the cyclone?
I think she ran away during it, because we had her, but she just, because when the house started falling apart, you know, we all moved from one room to another room, and that's when we lost her.
Mm. So what she did, it's interesting that if you look in the dream, you thought the short blonde woman was stupid to take the cat in the car because it traumatised the cat.
Yeah.
And you said what she should have done was leave it at home.
Yeah.
Now what you've got when you were 9 is your home falling down around you.
Yeah.
So the cat can't be left at home. The cat was traumatised. But what the cat did was, in a way, was went off and fended for itself.
Yeah, it did.
Maybe in a way the cat went to be... was free to be itself, free to be me.
Yeah.
Made its own decisions.
It did.
Mm.
And it was a good decision too, because it survived it.
Yes. So when you have a cat in your dream, you know, right at the beginning of talking with you, we were saying, oh, an animal often will represent your instincts.
Mm.
So it's very possible that what happened to you with the trauma of losing the home and your Christmas presents floating down the hall when you were 9... then we don't know, but you may have at some sense latched onto that feeling of the cat, even though you were only 9, of having the instinct to escape and somehow knew how to survive, was free to be me and survived. And deep down inside, you've kind of remembered perhaps that symbol of the cat as an instinct that knows how to survive if it goes off and makes its own decisions and is free to be itself.
Yeah.
And you may have that in the car, even though in the stream it seemed odd. Why isn't she leaving the cat at home? The cat's traumatised. If she'd left the cat at home, you wouldn't have ended up with a cat in the dream.
Yeah, that's right.
So there's a part of you that maybe when you're feeling incredibly traumatised, as you were when you were 9, and you have this feeling of not only your physical home disappearing, but all the excitement and promises like Christmas presents floating down the hall, when you have a feeling that your very core of sense of home is under threat, that you may have an instinct like the cat to run and be free to be me.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a result of losing your home, I guess you were very, very angry about that.
Oh, no, No, there wasn't a lot of anger. There was more, it was fear, Jane Teresa's fear that what nature can do, and respect. It was very, you don't realise what an impact it really has on your life, I suppose, because your well-being is really threatened.
So what do you think you learned from that now, looking back? What do you think that experience has done for you?
Oh, it certainly makes you appreciate life and calm weather. But I suppose it has a certain amount of fear when, you know, there's fear if what the forces of nature are able to do, that where we can be quite helpless in a way.
Yes.
Just like little specks, you know.
Yeah. So a feeling of helplessness in the force of nature.
Yeah, absolutely. Nature. Yeah.
And with your home and your sense of living, all the way from age 9 to now, have you felt at peace and comfortable at home, or has it always been that kind of feeling of, has it been a feeling of appreciating home, or has it been a feeling of imminent fear of losing home?
No, because we've lost home before and you've been through it, so there's no fear there. Like, you know that you're going to be all right, even if you've got nothing. It's okay. You've still got your... Doesn't matter if you haven't got anything.
Right.
It's given you that, yeah, you know. It's like it's okay. If you've got nothing, it doesn't matter.
Right. I love that. If you've got nothing, it doesn't matter. You know, you strip away all the material things and everything else, and you come back to what really matters.
Exactly.
Which is?
Being alive.
Being alive.
And having your breath.
Having your breath body. And your body.
Yeah.
And being free to be me.
Yeah.
And having dignity about that, whether or not you've got a multi-million-dollar house around you or not.
Yeah, or living in the long grass.
Or living in the long grass. Explain that for our overseas listeners.
Where I am, in the top of Australia, a lot of Indigenous people live in the long grass.
Mm.
They don't have, they're no fixed address. They just live in the long grass.
Mm.
So they're called long grasses.
Long grasses.
Yeah.
So you've got that sense of, and I think I gave the analogy earlier about whether you live in the gutter.
Yeah, exactly.
whether
you're homeless, you know.
Yes. You still have your personal dignity.
Yeah.
And you learned that at 9. Looking back now, you can see you learned that at 9.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so that little girl in the dream that was 9 to 10 and was playing with a cat, maybe the part of yourself that is reminding yourself that whatever happens in your life, you always have, whatever traumas there are, whatever situation, you do have that personal dignity, that freedom to be me.
Yeah.
That breath, as you said there.
Or that freedom to make your own decision to preserve your life, perhaps.
Yes.
Like you said about the cat.
Yes. So these are, exactly, so these are things for you to... we could also go back 9 or 10 years, but I'll leave you to do that in your own quiet time because of the time that we've taken so far. But, you know, you've just raised another big issue there, that being free to be me and to have my breath is also freedom to make decisions that you want to make that are for you, regardless of any judgment from other people. So lots and lots and lots and lots of stuff to think about, but, of course, we want to move to do a dream alchemy now.
Yep.
And I guess... I guess what we really want to do, but I'll get your okay on it, is we want to actually undo or transform that unconscious belief you've got that that people will judge you for being better than you are.
Yeah.
Get rid of that so that you don't have the fear to, so that you are free to be you. Is that what we want to do?
Yeah, get rid of the fear.
Get rid of the fear.
And the anger.
Okay.
But I suppose the anger is part of the fear, isn't it, really?
Absolutely. Anger is angry at yourself because of the fear.
Mm.
But then we go underneath the fear as well. What is causing the fear, which is causing the anger? It's this feeling that I'm hamstrung. I can't go out and be free to be me because people will say that I'm better than I am, and that bothers me. So if we go down to that base and transform that belief, the fear and the anger will go because they're not based on anything anymore.
Yeah, they've got nothing to latch onto.
Yeah. So we want to get rid of the unconscious belief that people judge you for being better than you. And I'm thinking that in your dream, you've got the white cat, which has this bit of a dilemma, because the white cat is very dignified, but it also thinks that it's better than you. It's a bit snobby as well. So we want to get rid of the snobby element and just allow her to be very dignified.
Yeah.
So let me just think how we might do this. Okay, so I think we'll go with a visualization. I'll just run it past you first, see how you feel.
Yeah.
And what we'll do is be in the dream, and we'll have you saying, what is the truth? And we'll have the little white cat coming towards you and sitting on your lap.
Yeah.
And being totally dignified.
Yeah.
But definitely not snobby. And saying to you, we'll get the cat to speak to you and say, you want to know the truth, Carolyn? The truth is, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. The truth is, you have your personal dignity and you're free to be you, and that's all that matters.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, I'll just write that down before I forget, because I'll run it to you. You have your personal dignity and you're free to be you, because what did I say at the end? Because what anybody
else... That's all that really matters.
Because that's all that really matters, or that really matters.
Or that's the truth.
Yeah, that's the truth. I probably won't be able to read any of that handwriting I've written down there, but I'll have a go at it. I'm going to lead you through this visualization, Carolyn. So just close your eyes, take two deep breaths. Okay, Carolyn, here you are in your dream, and you can see the little white cat. And you're saying, okay, cat, come and tell me the truth. What is the truth? And the cat comes, and she jumps on your lap, and she sits down, and she sits in that really dignified, beautiful way. She's definitely not snobby, but she's beautifully dignified. And she speaks, and she says to you, and as she talks to you, you get this beautiful, warm, prickly, lovely feeling, almost it brings tears to your eyes. And she says to you, you want to know the truth? The truth is that you have your personal dignity. You're totally free to be you, because that's all that really matters. And that is the truth. And as you're hearing that, you have this real feeling deep down in the around about your navel, in the really center of your abdominal area, and also in your heart, that the cat is speaking the truth. This is all that really matters. It's all about you feeling cool and comfortable and dignified. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with what anybody else thinks or feels. You are free to be you.
Oh, I got the cat purring now.
Oh, good. That's great, because that's you. Most of the work's done there, Carolyn, but have a little think about it. Repeat that visualization, even refine it a little there.
Yeah.
And repeat it 20 times a day for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And just notice, kind of be a bit of a bystander. I know you can do this. And notice your interactions with people.
Yeah.
And just make little observations.
I will.
Hmm. And be free to be you, because
fantastic.
That's all that matters. Thank you so much for sharing your dream today, Carolyn.
Oh, I love your work, Jane Teresa.
Thank you. So there we were, working on a short dream, as I promised you, and going deeper and deeper and deeper, and really being quite persistent and tenacious with wrangling with some of those symbols, and really getting, as Carolyn realised through the dream, and Carolyn was a wonderful contributor and co-creator of her analysis there, when she realised that the fear and the anger really were getting in the way and masking, getting underneath that to what, you know, that the truth of the matter that was sitting there. So I hope you enjoyed that. I'm sure you did, and I'm sure you got a lot of good tips and techniques from that, not least of which is that when you're working through your own dreams or helping other people with theirs, to really stick in there for some bits, because the rewards are huge once you actually get in there. So thanks for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. Have a wonderful month, and I'll be with you next week. Oh, next month. The next episode, episode 128, is due out on the 27th of July. Talk to you then. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com. We'll be right back.